Hey, what's going on, my qualifiers? Welcome to another episode of Unqualified News with your host, M. Mauricio, that's me. And what a week. What a couple weeks, to be exact. I have three articles on this episode and no Trump's tweets. First episode with no Trump's tweets. Trump is banned from Twitter, is banned from anywhere he can write. I have to figure something out with Trump's tweets. A lot of people are asking me, hey, what are you going to do with Trump's tweets? He's not tweeting anymore. And I said, maybe, hey, you know what? What is Trump up to today? But it's not that easy to find out what an ex-president is doing on a day-to-day basis. And I don't want that on my Google search. Hey, where is Trump? I'm going to get a visit from somebody asking me, why am I always trying to find where the hell Trump is? So my qualifiers, I'm going to keep you guys updated on Trump's tweets. I'm going to think of something. So I'll bring you guys an article from Business Insider, and it's basically Elon Musk shooting back at Waymo's CEO. Waymo is a company that I know nobody's probably heard of, and they do autonomous vehicles. So they have like some little thing going on in Phoenix where you get into a car, nobody's driving, and it takes you probably a couple miles from here to there. And the CEO of Waymo decided to go on Twitter and talk shit to Elon Musk. And if you didn't know already, Elon Musk is a super troll. So that's there. I have another one from routers.com, and it's talking about the California lockdowns being eased a little bit because everything's kind of cooling off a little bit. People are getting that vaccine. People are feeling a little more comfortable. So now people can outdoor dine here in California. Thank you. Clap, clap. Finally. So I'm very happy about that. That affects me for sure right away, immediately. It's already affecting me. I'm getting busier and I love it. I get busier, customers get busier, everybody is happy. Also on this episode, I went to the cdc.gov website, Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, and I got facts about vaccination. And there's, I think, 8 facts about vaccination there, straight from the source, science. So you guys could get the nitty gritty straight from the horse's mouth, as they say. And what a week it has been. I hope your week has been much better than mine. But it's getting better, like every time I say, like it always gets better. Similar to the stock market, I guess, I don't know. But you have your dips, you have your lows, and then you have your highs. But it's always getting better. I appreciate every listen I get. Thank you, and thanks for listening to another episode. California eases lockdowns as state's COVID-19 crisis ebbs. This one comes from routers.com by Steve Gorman. California eased strict COVID-19 stay-at-home orders on Monday, allowing restaurants to reopen for outdoor dining and greater social mixing as state public officials cited slowing rates of the coronavirus infections and hospitalizations. The announcement marked the most tangible sign yet that California, which emerged in recent months as a leading U.S. hotspot of the COVID-19 pandemic, has moved beyond the worst days of a crisis that pushed much of its healthcare system to the breaking point. The improved outlook in California, the most populous U.S. state with 40 million residents, came as the country as a whole surpassed the alarming milestone of 25 million known infections, with nearly 419,000 lives lost during the pandemic. California's stay-at-home restrictions, among the most stringent constraints on business and social life imposed anywhere in the country, were triggered in early December when available space in hospital intensive care units reached maximum capacity. Governor Newsom said infection rates and hospital admissions have since declined dramatically. Projections show available ICU capacity climbing well above minimum thresholds over the next month. But we are not out of the woods, Newsom added, urging people to keep abiding by mask-wearing requirements and social distancing until collective immunity can be achieved through vaccinations. The stay-at-home rules ended on Monday had required residents to remain largely indoors and avoid travel around the clock, except as necessary for permitted activities such as grocery shopping, medical appointments, individual outdoor exercise, and dog walks. Those constraints were lifted on Monday for Southern California, the San Francisco Bay Area, and the state's largely agricultural San Joaquin Valley, The Greater Sacramento area was excused from the order 2 weeks ago, and the extreme Northern California region was never under it. The governor stressed that lesser restrictions imposed in November remained in effect for most of the state. A nightly curfew on all indoor social gatherings and non-essential activities outside the home from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. He said 54 of California's 58 counties remain under that curfew for now as a part of state's color-coded purple tier of the strictest COVID-19 public health measures. One of the most immediate practical effects of Monday's action is that restaurants, which had been restricted to carry out and delivery service only, can return to offering outdoor dining. Nail and hair salons may also reopen on a limited basis to indoor service, with customers and staff required to wear masks, while certain youth sports competitions are permitted to resume as well. Newsom said California has tripled its pace of administering vaccines, reporting giving nearly 2.2 million doses out of the 4.1 doses shipped to the state as of Saturday. The goal is to give 1 million more shots over the next 10 days. As previously announced, Californians age 65 and older are now eligible for vaccines along with healthcare workers, first responders, food and agricultural workers, teachers, and school staff. And there is my qualifiers, that's from routers.com. Routers usually does foreign news, out of the country type of news, so that's why I chose them to talk about California, because I went local and it just didn't feel right, just didn't sound right. So here it is from someone that's most likely not living in California. And like you guys already know I mention it a lot, I work with restaurant owners and restaurant workers a lot. So yeah, for this full week, everybody's been pretty upbeat about their restaurant finally being able to serve customers outdoor. Though I've talked to many restaurant owners, and throughout this pandemic, they still had their dining room open. If you called the restaurant, they would say, no, it's only outdoor. But if you were a local and you would walk up, yeah, sometimes they would sit you down. And that's what I was told. And I wasn't told in a way like, yes, I'm getting away with something. Haha, I got them. I was being told that in a way of fear, of like, I have to do this or I cannot pay my workers. So these news come as a huge relief. And definitely I'm getting a lot busier starting this week, for sure. For sure getting a lot busier. Customers are opening restaurants now. People feel more comfortable to open restaurants. And that's happening. People are buying equipment. People are opening new restaurants. That's happening. Elon Musk hits back at Waymo's CEO after he said Tesla was no competitor at all. This one comes from BusinessInsider.com by Grace K. And I brought you guys this because of Tesla. Ticker symbol TSLA. Everybody's getting FOMO on Tesla. Nobody wants to miss out on this one. Elon Musk hit back at claims from Waymo CEO John Krafcik that Tesla is not a viable competitor in the autonomous vehicle market. Musk called Waymo, which began as a Google project, out on Twitter Sunday, saying, Tesla has better AI hardware and software than Waymo. The Tesla CEO was responding to incendiary comments from Krafcik in an interview that was published Friday. In the interview with Germany's Manager magazine, Krafcik said Tesla was no competitor at all when it came to producing autonomous vehicles. He said Tesla was developing only a really good driver assistance system. It is a misconception that you can just keep developing a driver assistance system until one day you can magically leap to a fully autonomous driving system, Krafcik added. In terms of robustness and accuracy, for example, our sensors are orders of magnitude better than what we see on the road from other manufacturers. In his tweet, Musk also referenced the high cost of Waymo cars. Krafcik told the German business outlet the autonomous cars would cost about the same amount as a Mercedes S-Class, a $100,000 plus vehicle. Musk's jab at the price of Waymo vehicles is no surprise, considering he has made it his mission to make Tesla vehicles as affordable for the masses as possible, with models starting at $38,000. While Tesla vehicles have been known for their autopilot system, the company released its full self-driving software in beta mode in October to a limited number of customers. Tesla's self-driving vehicle requires a licensed human operator to sit behind the steering wheel. YouTube videos from when the feature was released show the driverless feature still needs correction at time when it comes to avoiding medians and stop signs. After the software was released, the U.S. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said, "No vehicle available for purchase today is capable of driving itself." Unlike Tesla's latest self-driving software, Waymo's vehicles are designed to be operated entirely without a human driver. They are equipped with a host of sensors, including LiDAR. In October, Waymo's cars hit the road in Phoenix as an entirely driverless ride service. The two CEOs have traded barbs in the past. Earlier in January, Kravcik said Waymo would be dropping the term self-driving from its lexicon in a jab at Tesla's $10,000 feature that says it offers full self-driving capability. Waymo said it would be opting to use the terminology autonomous driving instead. And there you have it, my qualifiers. That's from businessinsider.com. And that's a billionaire talking shit about a millionaire. CEO Mr. Kravcik kind of got what he wanted. He wanted Elon Musk to, talk back. And he did. So he kind of baited him into it, it seems like. And of course, Tesla is a competitor in this market. Tesla's already proven they have the infrastructure to be able to build electric vehicles well. And for low cost. They have all the supercharger stations all over the place already. That's a step up from other companies like Ford, Waymo, and many others. So, Mr. Kravcik, you got what you wanted. Elon Musk responded to your tweet, okay? Facts about vaccination. This is not an article, but more so a bunch of bullet points from CDC.gov, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC.gov. So this is the real deal, Holyfield, straight from the source of science. And I wanted to go through some of these questions so that we all know the facts, right? So here's the first bullet point I see. Can a COVID-19 vaccine make me sick with COVID-19? No, none of the authorized and recommended COVID-19 vaccines or COVID-19 vaccines currently in development in the United States contain the live virus that causes COVID-19. This means that a COVID-19 vaccine cannot make you sick with COVID-19. There are several different types of vaccines in development. All of them teach our immune systems how to recognize and fight the virus that causes COVID-19. Sometimes this process can cause symptoms such as fever. These symptoms are normal and are a sign that the body is building protection against the virus that causes COVID-19. It typically takes a few weeks for the body to build immunity protection against the virus that causes COVID-19 after vaccination. That means it's possible a person could be infected with the virus that causes COVID-19 just before or after the vaccination and still get sick. This is because the vaccine has not had enough time to provide protection. So there you go. That's the first bullet point. And what I'm getting off of that is basically, hey, look, you might get the vaccine today on Monday, but come Tuesday, you may come in contact with somebody that has COVID-19 and you will get sick. So you'll be a sick person that has already gotten the vaccine. All right, next one. After getting a COVID-19 vaccine, will I test positive for COVID-19 on a viral test? No. Neither the recently authorized and recommended vaccines nor the other COVID-19 vaccines currently in clinical trials in the United States can cause you to test positive on viral tests, which are used to see if you have current infection. If your body develops an immune response, the goal of vaccination, there is a possibility you may test positive on some antibody test. Antibody tests indicate you had a previous infection and that you may have some level of protection against the virus. Experts are currently looking at how COVID-19 vaccination may affect antibody testing results. So basically that means the antibody test that people are able to take, you take that test if you want to know if you've had the virus before in the past. Because if you take a test now and you don't feel any symptoms or anything, you're going to test negative most likely. But if you take the antibody test, they'll actually test you if you have the antibodies that defeated the COVID-19 virus in your system. I want to take that test just to be sure. I think I may have had it in the past. Who knows? All right, onward. If I have already had COVID-19 and recovered, do I still need to get vaccinated with a COVID-19 vaccine? Oof. This is a very heavy question. And here's the answer. Yes. Due to the severe health risks associated with COVID-19 and the fact that reinfection with COVID-19 is possible, vaccines should be offered to you regardless of whether you already had COVID-19 infection. CDC is providing recommendations to federal, state, and local governments about who should be vaccinated first. At this time, experts do not know how long someone is protected from getting sick again after recovering from COVID-19. The immunity someone gains from having an infection, called natural immunity, varies from person to person. Some early evidence suggests natural immunity may not last very long. We won't know how long immunity produced by vaccination lasts until we have more data and how well the vaccines works. Both natural immunity and vaccine-induced immunity are important aspects of COVID-19 that experts are trying to learn more about. And CDC will keep the public informed as new evidence becomes available. So my qualifiers, what the CDC is saying here, even though you have had the COVID-19 and recovered, you should still get vaccinated. The CDC is saying that even though your body was able to kill off the COVID-19 virus, you still should get the COVID-19 vaccine from Pfizer or AstraZeneca. That's what the CDC is saying. The CDC is saying that even though your body was strong enough to kill the COVID-19 virus, you should still pay for the COVID-19 vaccine from Pfizer or AstraZeneca. That's what I just read off of this. So says the CDC. Alrighty, next one. Will a COVID-19 vaccination protect me from getting sick with COVID-19? Oh. This is another good one. These two last ones should have probably been the first ones, but hey. And the answer, yes. COVID-19 vaccination works by teaching your immune system how to recognize and fight the virus that causes COVID-19. And this protects you from getting sick with COVID-19. Being protected from getting sick is important because even though many people with COVID-19 have only a mild illness, others may get a severe illness, have long-term health effects, or even die. There is no way to know how COVID-19 will affect you, even if you don't have an increased risk of developing severe complications. Alrighty, here's the next one. Will COVID-19 vaccine alter my DNA? Oh man, this sounds like a question that one of those QAnon people would be asking, you know what I mean? And here's the answer, of course. No, COVID-19 mRNA vaccines do not change or interact with your DNA in any way. Messenger RNA vaccines, also called mRNA vaccines, are the first COVID-19 vaccines authorized for use in the United States. mRNA vaccines teach our cells how to make a protein that triggers an immune response. The mRNA from a COVID-19 vaccine never enters the nucleus of the cell, which is where our DNA is kept. This means the mRNA cannot affect or interact with our DNA in any way. Instead, COVID-19 mRNA vaccines work with the body's natural defenses to safely develop immunity to the disease. At the end of the process, our bodies have learned how to protect against future infection. That immune response and making antibodies is what protects us from getting infected if the real virus enters our bodies. Well, after reading it, I see how people can get confused with this terminology. You know, I can see that. Alrighty, so here's the last question on the CDC.gov page. Is it safe for me to get a COVID-19 vaccine if I would like to have a baby one day? Yes, people who want to get pregnant in the future may receive the COVID-19 vaccine. Based on current knowledge, experts believe that COVID-19 vaccines are unlikely to pose a risk to a person trying to become pregnant in the short or long term. Scientists study every vaccine carefully for side effects immediately and for years afterward. The COVID-19 vaccines are being studied carefully now and will continue to be studied for many years, similar to other vaccines. The COVID-19 vaccine, like other vaccines, works by training our bodies to develop antibodies to fight against the virus that causes COVID-19 to prevent future illnesses. There is currently no evidence that antibodies formed from COVID-19 vaccination cause any problems with pregnancy, including the development of the placenta. In addition, there is no evidence suggesting that fertility problems are a side effect of any vaccine. People who are trying to become pregnant now or who plan to try in the future may receive the COVID-19 vaccine when it becomes available to them. And there it is, my qualifiers. That's straight from the source, cdc.gov. And it's under the frequently asked questions about vaccination. And this article was just updated today, actually. This article was updated today. So I don't know what changed from the time when I actually found it, which was a couple days ago, to today when it was updated. But I wish I would have known. I wish I would have read it before to see what they changed. But it was updated today, my qualifiers. And that is, again, straight from the Centers of Disease Control and Prevention.gov. Science. My qualifiers. Thank you for listening to another episode. And I wanted to take some time to immortalize a close friend, coworker, and just all around really awesome dude. I know you hear it all the time. Oh, he was such a great guy. He was such a great guy. And I was lucky enough to work with him for 4+ years. And he was my assistant. And the world lost him last week. So, Jose Junior Lizard. So I just want to read something that I posted on his Facebook. You influenced me so much, you don't even know, man. I really appreciate everything you did for me and everyone you came close to. You always talked to me about your family and the love showed in every story. You're so passionate, man. I'm lucky to have crossed paths with you here. This isn't fair at all, man. But I know you're feeling a feeling of peace like no other. And I know this is a news podcast. I understand that. This happening in my life really, really shook me to my core, because at 32 years of age, I realized that I had not lost a lot of people in my life that I cared about. And I wanted to take some time to immortalize him. I'm sure he's listening to this. Well, really, I'm sure he's not. I'm sure he is doing something much, much bigger than we can ever imagine. And that's what I mean by a feeling of peace like no other. Back in 2017, I was in an accident that nearly took my life. And there was a point in time when I was upside down flipping in the freeway in my car, and I felt this sense of peace going all around my body, this warm feeling of, don't worry, everything is gonna be okay. But to the most extreme that I've ever felt, this warm feeling from head to toe, like if somebody was holding me and somebody was telling me with such assurance of, don't worry, your family's gonna be okay. They will be happy. You will be happy. Everyone is gonna be okay. Everything is fine. I can find some peace that Jose is now feeling that 100% of the time, all the time. And that's what's helping me kind of understand or live with this. The last thing I said to him was, all right, man, have a good night. Just like that. Waved my hand at him and he said, all right. Just like any other day. Thanks for listening, you guys. I really wanted to get that off my chest. I really wanted to immortalize that feeling that I have. I just feel like if I didn't say anything, it just wouldn't feel right. He was such a huge part of my life, daily, Monday through Friday. Even on the weekends, I would talk to him. So I want to tell you guys that I appreciated him, and I appreciate you guys. Peace.